Technology.ie. It's Thursday, February 13th, 2014.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Hello and welcome to technology.ie. This is Conor Muinichon in the Black Knight Studios, and my guest on Skype today is Ken Hansen. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Con. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Good. Now, the last time we spoke to you, Ken, was maybe a year or so ago. And at the time, you were working for a company called Newstar, which is a company involved with introducing some of the new top-level domains, among other things, including .nyc, which I think is the most talked about one. And also, I think you've been involved with .biz in the past.
Yes, I have. Very proud of the time I spent at Newstar. They've got a great team of people, and I think they're going to do very well with .nyc.
Now, there's all this talk, Ken, about new top-level domains and that at the moment. But you are involved in a project which is coming on stream now, which is, it's a little bit similar and it's a little bit different. Would that be fair to describe it?
It sure would. I would add one adjective to that. It's very exciting for me, and I think ultimately for the businesses that will have access to our new extension.
Okay. It's a second level domain in the .com namespace, Ken. Could you explain a bit more about that and what it means?
Yeah. So my partner, Paul Goldstone, has owned Co.com since 1997. And Paul made the decision about a year ago to launch a registry under Co.com. What that means is businesses, organizations, and individuals will have an opportunity to register their company name, for example, .co.com, or anything, a generic word, .co.com, when we launch the registry in the coming months.
Okay, so this is a, as we say, a second level domain in the .com space, Ken, and it's you're marketing it as a second chance for companies who would have perhaps liked to get a .com domain name, but who don't have that opportunity. Is it not going to be confusing, or how is it going to work? .com is a company. What does .co.com stand for?
Well, co generally stands for company, so it's company.com. So businesses, companies in general will find the co.com to be a broad, generic, global namespace. Most smaller businesses came online on the internet, long after larger businesses did. So by the time they got around to registering their domain names, all those generic words were gone. The short, memorable name that they wanted may not have been available. Mm. Or if they wanted to get it, either it was already in use or, they would have to pay tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even $1 million or more to get the name on the secondary market. So we are, you could say, we're opening up a new tract of land in .com. Mm-hmm. And so for the first time in a long time, those small businesses will have a second opportunity to get the name they really wanted all along.
And you've suggested, Ken, that in many ways it's a logical one for companies who may already be in a country who operate a second-level .co namespace, such as, for example, .co.uk.
That is true for several reasons. One is many of the businesses, for example, let's go with co.uk. Many of the companies who currently have a co.uk website also have business outside of the UK. And it's perfectly logical to use co.uk for your targeted marketing for customers inside of the United Kingdom. But many of those businesses also have customers outside of the UK, and a co.uk isn't the ideal marketing for that. The search engines, for example, if someone in the US searches on a keyword, it's very rare that a .uk name would show up on the first page of the search results. But if they have a name that ends in .com, that's more likely. Of course, they have to have great content. The site has to be engaging and interesting. They have to keep it updated. All those things continue to be true. But we think a co.com is very complementary to a co.uk for international marketing.
It's a kind of an internationalized version, if you like, of that .co.uk. So it's understandable, certainly from that point of view. How is this going to work, Ken, in practice? Let's just talk about from your point of view. You're selling domain names in the .co.com space. Does that make you a registry in the way that registries who deal with ICANN are, or are you something else?
We are a registry in terms of the services we provide and the functionality that we provide. So we're operating a centralized global database of .co.com domain names. Mm. We're pushing out a zone file to a global constellation of name servers, and we're accepting registrations from registrars located around the world. We provide those names at a wholesale price to our registrars and our distribution channel, and they in turn offer those to their customers at a retail price.
And so what kind of a relationship do you have then with VeriSign? Are you just another registrant? Isn't that the correct word? Are you just another registrant, or do you have to have some additional agreement with them based on the fact that you are registering all of these subdomains, essentially, of the .co.com domain?
There's no special arrangement required. In fact, anybody that has a second-level domain could elect to launch a registry. What's special about .co.com is it's very short. It's a very short domain name. And the generic nature of co, meaning company, mm-hmm. Makes it very attractive for global businesses. Before we were talking about co.uk, there are actually 61 countries around the world that have co.country code namespaces, and many more that have com.country code namespaces. In the UK alone, there are 7 million co.uk domain names. So there's and there continues to be strong demand for domain names ending in .com. Every year there are still 30 million plus new adds to the .com database. Most of those domain names are not short, they're not memorable, but users identify with the .com brand, so much so they're willing to add hyphens, add additional words, just to have a domain name and branding that ends at .com. So we're providing them with a better, shorter name that ends in .com.
Well, it certainly makes sense when you put it that way. And the fact, as you say, that 61 countries have had that similar kind of .co.country code structure, certainly if a company is trading perhaps in one or indeed more of those, having that internationalized version certainly sounds attractive when you put it like that.
Yes. And so, when you consider the 30 million .com names that are still registered every single year, for every 1% of those we can garner in terms of market share, that's 300,000 registrations in .co.com. So we're very optimistic about our chances of registering hundreds of thousands of .co.coms. And we've been suggesting to registrars that when somebody searches and there's no strong signal for one of the new TLDs, that they show them a co.com. Obviously, if someone searches on a bicycle-related term or a photography-related term, you're going to show them .bike. You're going to show them .photography. Mm-hmm. But if there's no strong signal for a particular TLD and the .com is already taken, we're suggesting that they show them a co.com, or that when they register a .com, that they show them the .co.com at checkout.
What's it going to cost, Ken, to register a .co.com?
So the registrars will determine the retail price. We provide names to them at wholesale. Based on the wholesale pricing that we're planning, we expect to see pricing when we get to general availability somewhere in the range of $24.99 to $50, somewhere in that range. Most of them will be somewhere in the middle of that. During the sunrise phase, the pricing will be somewhat higher, and the same for the land rush phase. Mm-hmm.
What kind of market research have you done, and what kind of feedback have you got from registrars and indeed from potential end users and customers of these domains?
Well, I'll start with the registrars. The moment we put our agreement up on our technology provider's platform, we're working with CentralNIC. They're our back-end technology provider. They have a very efficient onboarding process. So we posted our registrar agreement on their platform. Within 24 hours, we had 18 registrars sign the agreement, and it's less than a week later, and we have over 50 registrars who have signed the agreement. Now, the registrars know the market, their own markets in their own countries, a whole lot better than we do. So I think their receptiveness to .co.com over the past week tells us that they believe that there's going to be strong demand for .co.com based on their years of interaction with their customers. And then, you know, beyond that, it's the research we've done to determine, you know, how many .co.country code names there are, how many .com.country code names there are, the strong demand for the continuing strong demand for domain names that end in .com. So we're quite confident in our ability to hit some significant numbers, and we're very pleased to see the registrars agree.
Some people might suggest, Ken, I'm not sure I'd agree with it myself, but some people might suggest that if you had come forward with an initiative like this a few years ago, when we weren't about to see an avalanche of new top-level, generic top-level domains coming on stream, that an idea like this might have had even more interest from the registrars and from the general public. Or is it perhaps the case that that the rising tide lifts all boats, and the general interest there is in domains, prompted, if you like, by the new GTLDs, is also going to maybe prompt people to look at .co.com as well?
It's nice to have the playing field all to yourself. But as you pointed out, you know, with all of the marketing being invested in new GTLDs, the public awareness and business awareness of choices of choice in terms of extensions is we believe that rising tide will lift all boats, that we'll have greater visibility because of that, and that businesses will over time become more open to something than a second level .com name, because they'll see there are lots of choices in the marketplace. There's also a window of opportunity for us. Most of the new TLDs, as you know, haven't come to market yet, and many of them will not come to market till later this year or even 2015. Particularly the large, very broad TLDs. So we're a global TLD. We're for any company, any business, any organization or individual. There are some new GTLDs like that, but generally those will not be coming to market till late this year at best, but some say, you know, the end of 2015, even 2016. For the most part, the TLDs coming to market now are smaller niche TLDs for specific vertical industries. So We think the timing is perfect. The registrars need something to offer their customers when there's no strong signal for one of these new niche TLDs that are coming to market.
It certainly does sound exciting, Ken, which is what you said up front, and I can see now why. And it's an opportunity that you're right on the cusp of. What are the phases that are involved here? You're going into the sunrise phase shortly. Tell me about that.
So the sunrise phase begins on February 24th, and what the sunrise phase is an opportunity for qualified trademark holders to register their .co.com domain name. What qualified means is They've registered their mark with the ICANN Trademark Clearinghouse, and they've received a valid SMD file from ICANN. They'll present that to the registrar when they go to register the name, and we will use that to validate their mark and allow their registration during that phase. That trademark phase, the sunrise phase, is 30 days long. So it starts February 24th and it goes to March 25th. So that's the first phase of the launch. It is exclusively for trademark holders. And following that, beginning on April 7th, we have what the industry refers to as our land rush phase. Land rush opens .co.com to any business, any organization, or any individual. It runs for 90 days. Unlike some of the other land rush processes, there are no applications or auctions. This is a very simple registration at a land rush price. So in other words, you register the name in real time and it goes live as soon as the zone file gets pushed out. It looks like any other live registration. But again, the pricing is a bit higher during the land rush phase. That runs for 90 days. So it begins on April 7th and it ends on July 5th. And then when that is completed, when land rush is completed, we go to general availability. So here the price comes down after that initial land rush period. And that would be the normal registration process that users are accustomed to. And that would be an ongoing phase. So, you know, that would go on theoretically forever.
Now, you mentioned, Ken, that there's been a lot of interest in your registrar agreement, which you've posted with CentralNIC. Isn't that right? You were saying to me earlier as well, in relation to another issue which we've been discussing recently here on technology.ie, which is the registrar accreditation agreement, which ICANN is trying to get registrars to sign up to at the moment. It's a bone of contention with us here at Black Knight and with our CEO, Michaela Nealon. Just the very last podcast I think we've done here, he's talked extensively about it. Essentially, the situation is that ICANN have come up with an agreement which makes sense under Californian law, but is in breach, it turns out, of EU data protection laws, in particular in relation to the requirements it imposes regarding data retention. You've been watching this with some interest, Ken.
With great interest, and thanks to McKelly for making some noise about this and highlighting this issue. We certainly don't want to ask our distribution channel to violate EU law. So we're examining that portion of our accreditation agreement. And let me just say, it's highly likely that we will provide an exemption, a blanket exemption, for any company that's subject to the EU directive. So if you are a registrar for .co.com operating in the EU and you're subject to that local law, then you will not be required to retain the records after the accreditation agreement is terminated.
Sounds like a common sense approach. Ken, listen, it's been great talking to you, and I wish you the very best of luck with .co.com. And as you say, it certainly sounds like an exciting venture. We've another thing in common at the moment in that we've been dealing with stormy weather. How is it there in Virginia, I think you're in, isn't it?
That's right. We've got about a foot of snow on the ground right now. It looks like it's letting up. So it's time to get out in the driveway and shovel.
Very good. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that. We nearly blew away here yesterday. Ireland is not accustomed to strong winds and extremes of weather. But hopefully people are getting themselves back to normal now at the moment. And we were offline and off air here at the Black Knight Studios here for the last 24 hours or so. So we had to reschedule this particular podcast. So I'm glad we got to talk in the end, Ken. And as I said, the wind has died down, the sun is shining, and we've got our ESB, our electricity, and our internet back on. So all is good. All is right with the world.
Great. Good to hear that. And thanks again, Con. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again, Ken. Bye-bye.